Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. This is such an important study in our series on the cosmic conflict, Spiritualism Exposed. It's a topic that you need to study with us in the Word of God so that the light of the kingdom of God can shine into the darkness of anything in your life or in your family. So welcome to Hope Sabbath School. We're glad you're here. And welcome to the team. You can tell I feel passionate about this topic because of some experiences in my own family. And I believe that Jesus can dispel the darkness.
Amen.
So we're glad to be together. Yes. Puya, I'm so excited you're teaching today. We're glad that we can look at this important topic. Let's see, Leah's with us today on a remote. Leah, good to see you. Glad you're here. And Jamie Jean, welcome back, Jamie Jean. Always good to have you. Mm-hmm. And we're thankful for our remotes because they broaden the base. And many people say, we love Hope Sabbath School because it's such a diverse group. Mm-hmm. We're glad you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. And we're so excited. I get a little excited when you write sshope@hopetv.org. Why? Because we're seeing how God is impacting lives around the world. Mm-hmm. Henrietta writes from South Africa. Mm-hmm. She says, hello, Hope Sabbath School.
Hello. Hello.
I enjoy Hope Sabbath School, learn so much. And I've been helping two of my friends to learn more about God.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm.
That's why we do what we do, right?
Right.
I've been a follower of Jesus for a long time, and I'm very happy to be on the right road.
Amen.
Thanks for your studies. I'm from South Africa, and I watch it on my free-to-air decoder. God bless you. Henrietta, thanks for writing to us from South Africa. We're glad you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. Faustin writes to us from the beautiful country of Rwanda. And Faustin says, oh, I know why they say this. Hello, Hope Sabbath School team.
Hello.
I'm Faustin from Rwanda. I am so grateful for you. I started watching Hope Sabbath School just in October of 2022. God bless you in God's mission. You really help me. And we say,
amen.
Yes, for sure. Thank you for writing to us. Do you notice how we're constantly getting new people joining our global family? Mm-hmm. And Faustin's one of those. Well, we have a note from a donor who lives in Jamaica. Nicole, you weren't born in Jamaica, but that's your roots, right?
My parents were.
Your parents. So I'm not going to give the name because it's a donor, but give a wave for Jamaica, will you, over there? Thank you very much. I'm totally blessed by the Hope Sabbath School programs each morning, the donor writes. I pray for you often.
Wow. Hmm.
Keep up the good work.
Amen.
I'm here in the U.S. on my annual visit, but I'll return to Jamaica in a few days where I live. My two granddaughters and I love Hope Sabbath School. Mm-hmm. Hope this donation will go to prepare souls for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And a donation, and then one last comment. Please pray for us.
Yes.
Last comment. I am a Jamaican. And a donation of $500.
Amen.
Bless the ministry. Thank you. You know who you are. And we're so thankful for your support. God bless you and your two granddaughters who watch and your whole family. And I just want to thank each one of you who supports this ministry. We're donor supported, and you can help us by going to hopetv.org/hopess. Click on that yellow donate button or get an address and send a letter to us like this donor did. Thank you for being part of the miracle. One last note for Marcel, the beautiful island of Barbados. And blessings to you, writes Marcel. I'm writing from the beautiful island of Barbados. I've been following your studies, and they continue to be a blessing to me. I'm just amazed because we're not that great, really. We're not that super smart, right? This is supernatural work. Amen?
Amen.
That's why we pray when we begin our study. Marcel continues, when times are tough, I'm always reminded that my Father owns this earth and everything in it.
Amen.
Amen.
And I've seen his providence through my every need.
Amen.
May God continue to bless your ministry. Well, Marcel, thank you for giving your testimony. we're blessed to hear from you. We'd love to hear from each one of you. sshope@hopetv.org. You can write to us. Share how God's blessing your life through a study of His Word. Before we sing our theme song, just a reminder about that valuable resource. You say, Derek, I've already downloaded my digital copy of The Great Controversy. Did you know that you can get it in more than 100 languages? You may have a friend who speaks another language or prefers to read in their mother tongue. Just go to our website, hopetv.org/hopess. Click on the free resource tab. Get a copy or share the link with your friends, because the cosmic conflict is almost over.
Mm-hmm.
And we want, as we talk together, we want to be ready and welcoming our Savior with joy. Right now, we've got a song to sing that is a witness in itself. Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Let's sing it together.
He may be found, call upon Him while He is near. Seek the Lord while He may be found, call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him. To our God, for He will abundantly pardon. He will abundantly pardon. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near.
That's a great promise, Priya. Why don't you lead us in prayer as we begin our study?
Absolutely. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, thank You for this time that You have given to us, where we can open Your Word and study them once again. So we invite Your presence to be with us, Lord, that You will help us understand this topic on spiritualism exposed. Mm. We need Your guidance. We pray not only for ourselves, we pray for all the Hope Sabbath School members from around the world.
Amen.
That wherever it is that they are watching this from, and whenever it is that they are watching this, we pray that, Lord, You will speak to them as well. Mm-hmm. Be with us today. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
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 Amen. Our lesson today on this series of The Cosmic Conflict is titled Spiritualism Exposed, and we are now on lesson number 10. Before we begin, I just want to talk to our viewers at home. Today we'll be looking at a very important topic from the Bible where a lot of people, even a lot of Christians around the world, don't fully understand. So I want to invite you to get your Bible and open your Bible with us and go through the text with us as we study them. Mm. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart as well. Mm-hmm. And today, as we look at Spiritualism Exposed, I want to first begin by just setting the context that we have been looking at in this series. So the context is the cosmic conflict, right? Mm-hmm. From the very beginning, the enemy, Satan, has been attacking God and His government. And down through the ages of the history of the earth, we see the enemy using force as well as deception to introduce false ideas about God and His government. Mm. Mm-hmm. And one of the teachings of the scripture that the enemy has attacked is the nature of human beings, of especially the question, what happens when we die? Mm-hmm. And so today we'll be looking at that question. We'll be studying from not only the Old Testament, but the New Testament as well, and try to see what lesson can we learn, especially as we get closer towards the end of this cosmic conflict. Mm-hmm. All right? So let's go to the teachings of Jesus himself to Matthew chapter 10. And I want to ask Nicole to start our study by reading verse 28 of Matthew chapter 10. And let's see what Jesus said about human nature there.
Matthew 10:28 from the New International Version says, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell."
Okay. I don't know if you have heard this idea, but I grew up hearing this concept so much that when we die, there's this part of human beings that cannot die, that cannot be killed, sometimes called the spirit or sometimes called the soul. Just based on that one text that Nicole just read for us, according to Jesus, what can we learn about that soul? Is it really something that cannot be killed? Scott, I see your hand.
Yeah, it says to fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. So it can be destroyed.
Okay.
I think of the words of, I think Ezekiel the prophet says, the soul that sins
shall die.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there, of course, soul is not just like some separate entity, but actually the person.
Mm-hmm. Right. So let's look at from the Bible what this all means, because it can be confusing because there's so many different ways of understanding what happens when we die. But first and foremost, there we already see from the teaching of Jesus that when the Bible talks about soul, it's not something that continues to exist forevermore. It's not something that cannot be killed, as Scott pointed out. So let's look at the next verse here in John chapter 6, verse 39 to 40. And Gladys, can you read that text for us? And let's see what Jesus teaches there.
John chapter 6, verses 39 and 40. I'm reading from the New International Version. And it says, "And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day."
Thank you. So what do we find there? What does Jesus predict will happen at the last day? Travis?
He will be raised up from the grave.
All right. So there will be resurrection, right? So I have a question here. Why would there be a need for resurrection if the idea that, you know, when you die, your soul that is separate from your body goes to heaven straight away? According to popular teachings, that happens to be the case in their way of understanding this. Sabina, what can we learn from this text?
But what we can learn is that there wouldn't be a need of a resurrection if it was the case that indeed there is such entity that lives on, right? I think this clearly is state that even as we await for the judgment or for, you know, for this eternal life that God is providing for us in Scripture, there is such thing as dying and truly dying. You know, it's not just your body that perishes, it's the breath of life that God gives you. It gets back to God. And so when the day comes, he is going to raise us back and give us breath again.
All right. Thank you. Gladys.
Well, I think that we live in a world of a lot of pain and suffering. If I knew that if I die, part of me will go to heaven, why would I keep, you know, suffering here?
Right.
I will desire just to die and be done with it. So I think that it gives me more fear to think that, you know, there will be no hope for me if it were just die and part of me just goes. I wouldn't, you know.
Right.
The Bible just gives us hope by saying that God is going to resurrect us.
Amen. There may be someone studying this topic with us for the first time today and hearing this concept that, well, there will be resurrection at the last days and there's no idea of immortal soul just from a few texts we have read. And Jamie Jean, can you read for us 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 13 to 16? And let's look at this topic on immortality.
The New American Standard Bible says, "I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who testifies the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep the commandments without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the proper time. He who is blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see. For him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jamie Jean, for reading that. I don't know if you noticed the emphasis she put on the word alone. So according to the Bible, who alone has immortality?
God himself.
God. Only God. Then the question will be, when will the children of God receive that gift of immortality, according to the Bible? All right, so let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 to 55. And Kylinda, can you read that for us?
Absolutely. So I'll be reading 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 55 from the New King James Version. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory?
Amen. Wow. Thank you for reading this. So according to that text, when will the believers in God, in Christ, receive that gift of immortality? Travis, I see you smiling.
When Jesus returns in glory.
When Jesus returns.
To get all, I noticed in the verses she was reading, that all, even those who sleep and those who aren't sleeping, all will receive at that one time.
Right. So thank you for bringing that word up, the word sleep. So we'll come back to that word because that's very important in this topic that we're looking at. So if the Bible doesn't teach the idea of human beings having immortality in ourselves or immortal soul, where does this idea come from? Because a lot of churches are teaching this. John?
You know, this understanding is prevalent in Christianity, and the reason is because we got to go a little bit behind history. Greek philosophers, with their desire to live forever, and they didn't want life to just end when a person dies. Especially people like Plato, they came up with this understanding of a body-soul dichotomy, that a body dies, but a soul continues to live on forever. When the Romans conquered the Greeks physically, the Greeks conquered the mind of the Romans. And that is how this understanding of a body-soul dichotomy came into the mind of the Romans. And then when the Christian church and Romanism united, or the Roman Empire united, that is how it slipped into the Christian church. And today we have a vast majority of the Christian world thinking about a body-soul dichotomy, which is essentially a deception of Satan.
Right. Thank you for sharing that history. You know, it's interesting that it's not only in the Western culture that we see this idea of mixing of pagan teachings with the scripture. In my own culture of Mizo people, prior to Christianity coming to our land, we had a view that when a person dies, the spirit departs from the body and travels through a specific lake. There is a beautiful lake in a mountain. It's a beautiful heart-shaped lake. And according to our ancestor, we were taught that the spirit travels there and then from then went on to the next mountain and drank some water. And then the spirit forgets about, you know, the world and or the pain, and then plucks a flower and then enter into, you know, a place that is like a paradise, eternal rest. And it's interesting that when Christianity arrived, all those ideas that our people believed was merged with the Bible. And until this very day, a lot of Christians are singing songs about passing on from this body and drinking that water and forgetting about the pain of this world and entering into the presence of God. Yeah. So all those terminology that we used to believe from being animist was carried on into Christianity. Mm. Right? So this idea of ideas that are not found in the Bible creeping into Christianity is very common.
Yes.
So it's very important for us to be studying the scripture carefully. Nicole, I see your hand.
You know, it's interesting that we have a lot of traditions and cultures in our life that we bring to the Bible and try and interpret the Bible the way we think that it should be interpreted versus the way God interprets it for us. So we have to be very careful that we don't let our traditions and our cultures kind of color the way that we see God and what He wants for us in our lives.
Thank you. Zandile.
I wanted to say that it's also important to understand that God promises us immortality after we obey, when with obedience, it's on a condition. If you obey me, and then you shall enter into my kingdom. So we have to obey God and be resurrected when we die, those that are going to die, and then we will have immortality after the resurrection.
And I see Kalinda's hand, but let me say the obedience is to accept Jesus, who came to save us.
Right.
Now, I know the other acts of obedience are a loving response.
Yes.
But that's the ultimate act. Come to me, right?
Right.
And find rest for your soul. And of course, Satan doesn't want that. So he'll say, you don't need that. You will not surely
die.
That was the lie.
That's the lie. Kalinda.
I have friends and family who say they find comfort from this knowledge of going to heaven, which I think that there's some danger in that. But I also have friends and family who have a lot of fear for the opposite side, because when you believe the immortality of the soul, they also believe that if you're not in heaven, then you're eternally suffering. And I think that speaks against God's character.
Right. I believe it's very important now for us to go back to the very beginning of human origin. And before that, Jamie Jean, I see your hand. Let's come to your comment. And I want us to go to Genesis chapter 2. And Scott, can you read Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 after Jamie Jean's comment on this?
Oh, sure. So what I wanted to kind of tie it all together, this idea that Satan proposed in the very beginning, thou shalt not surely die. And he's done all this groundwork throughout all our different cultures, because it goes directly against the clear teaching of the Bible. And the wages of sin are death, according to Romans. So if the soul is immortal, then death is not a punishment. It's not a separation from God. It's meaningless. And so all of this has been to undermine the clear teaching of the Bible. And secondly, as someone who was raised an atheist, it maligns the character of God, because my biggest issue with Christianity was this idea of eternal torment, because not only does it sound terrible and frightening, but it makes God out to be vindictive and incomprehensibly cruel, crueler than anything that we have seen in our own lives. And this is what has been so damaging to God's character, but also our own understanding, because if I'm not going to die, then there's no real consequence if my soul lives forever.
Right.
And how can I come to a loving relationship with God, a person who is, you know, if there's an immortal condemned soul, a person who is so incomprehensibly cruel.
Wow.
And so as an atheist, when I learned the truth, that broke down so many barriers for me, because I realized, like, if God is love, it didn't conflict. It took away the conflict. It took away the thing that repulsed me away from faith.
Thank you for sharing
that. And I think it repulses a lot of people. The idea that God can both be love and be eternity of cruelty, it's incompatible.
Right.
But this is the groundwork of the deceiver in all of our cultures and all of our backgrounds, everything.
Wow. Reminds me of where Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Yeah. Right? Scott, take us to the very beginning of when God created human beings in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7.
And I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. This is in the account of creation. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature, a living soul, as some translations put it.
All right. Kailinda, I want to put you on a spot here. You're a biologist.
Yes.
So from that text, what are the what's the formula of a person according to the Bible?
Well, there seems to be a very physical, biological component, which is dust or dirt. There is a spiritual component, that's the breath of God, and it's through the power of Jesus, through the power of the Creator, that these become a living being.
All right, so dust plus the bread of life from God equals to?
Living soul.
Living soul, or a living person. So according to the very beginning of our origin, it's very clear that we are living souls. There's no separate entity that could come out of our body when we die that can travel somewhere and haunt people or go straight to heaven or another place of any of that. Right? It's very clear that it's just dust plus the living breath and we become living souls. So then the question is, what happens when we die? Let's look at the Bible to find that out. And Gladys, can you take us to Psalm 13, verse 3? We'll be reading a few texts here. So while Gladys is preparing for that, Leah, can you take us next to Psalm 17, verse 15? And after that, I'll come to Nicole, Psalm 115, verse 17. All right, let's start with Gladys in Psalm 13, verse 3.
And I'm reading from the New International Version, and it says, "Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death."
Okay, sleep in
death.
So death is connected to the idea of sleep, as Travis pointed out earlier. Leah, take us to the next text in Psalm 17, verse 15.
I'm reading from the English Standard Version, and it reads, "As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. When I awake, I shall be satisfied with your likeness."
When I awake. So this is talking about the future. And resurrection is described as waking up. Nicole, can you take us to Psalm 115, verse 17, please?
Sure. The New International Version says, "It is not the dead who praise the Lord, those who go down to the place of silence."
So the dead do not praise God.
Yeah.
Wow. That's very clear. Contrary to popular belief that when you die, you will go praising God in heaven. Well, the Bible clearly does not teach that. Sabina, can you take us to Psalm 146, verse 2 to 4? And then let's look at what happens to that breath of life that God gives to us when we die.
Okay, so I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And Psalms 146, verse 2 to 4 says, "While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man, in whom there is no help. His spirit departs, he returns to his earth. In that very day, his plans perish."
So, what does this text mean that the spirit returns to the ground? Based on what Genesis taught us about the nature of human beings. Scott?
You know, I think it's interesting to read this in another translation. I have the English Standard Version, and it says that his breath departs. And the same Hebrew word can translate both terms. So it's not talking about some woo-woo-woo that's going up to heaven. It says in that very same day, his plans perish. There's no consciousness.
Right, there's no more consciousness, meaning... According to the formula that God used to make us, to create us, when we die, our body that is made out of dust returns to the ground, and the bread of life, which can also be translated as the spirit, our bread of life returns back to God. There's no memory, there's no remembrance of whatever happened in the past, and for that period, according to the few texts we read, it's like we are sleeping. Travis, I see your hand there.
Well, no, I was just looking at this and thinking about it. And, you know, when it's talking about his plans perish, it's not as if he made a bunch of plans and they don't continue on. It's his process of thinking, you know, because I've talked to some people about this and they're like, well, you know, it's something in the future, his plans or something like that, because he has different plans now that he's with God. But it's actually not, it's his thinking process. It's his everyday planning is done. He doesn't think anymore because he's deceased, he or she.
Wow, thank you. Gladys.
I don't know if you have been in the presence of somebody when they're about to die. That is the perfect example to see, you know, when you just see the body there with the breath of life, just agonizing, and then they take their last breath and the body stays still. So it is just like in creation, that God formed a body and then he breathed in. So when the person dies, whatever God gave just returns to him. So it's not like a thinking person. It's not somebody that can see, that can smell, that can think. And just like Travis was saying, it's not somebody that can continue the plan that they had for their lives.
Right, right. And this reminds me of this concept that according to popular teaching, when a righteous person dies, his spirit, somewhat of, you know, different from the body that is able to think and praise God, goes to heaven and praise God. But if the person is not righteous, if a sinner dies, his soul or his spirit that is apart from his body goes to hell. But according to the Bible, it doesn't distinguish between a righteous person dying or a sinner dying. It just say when a person dies, the spirit or the breath returns back to God. It's very clear from the scripture. We have to move on. Let's look at one last text on this note. Sabina, can you take us to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 5? And let's reaffirm that idea of the dead not being able to praise God based on this text.
Okay, so
Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 5 there.
I love this verse. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And it says, "For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing, and they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten."
Wow. The dead know
nothing.
Nothing.
The dead know nothing.
Zandilis, take us please to Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, and let's look at the prophecy that Daniel gave to us from long ago, from the Old Testament time, about the future for those who went to sleep believing in Jesus, all right, believing in God. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, please.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Verse 2 says, "And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt."
Thank you for reading that. What prophecy do we see here from Daniel? Anyone? Scott?
You know, there will be a resurrection. So death is not the final word. Because there will be a resurrection either to life or a final judgment for those who rebelled against God.
Thank you. Jamie Jean, can you take us to John chapter 5, verse 25 to 29? And let's look at what Jesus has to say about this same concept about sleeping and waking up.
The New American Standard Bible says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. And he gave him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come forth, those who did good deeds to a resurrection of life and those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment."
Wow. So there will be two resurrections here. Resurrection to life for eternity and resurrection to judgment or destruction. We'll come back to the importance of believing in Jesus towards the end of our study. Now, let's go to the New Testament further. We have looked at the concept of the Bible based on the Old Testament, where it describes sleep, where it described dead as sleeping. Mm-hmm. Let's look at the New Testament in John chapter 11, verse 11 to 14, and verse 21 to 25. And let me request Gladys, if you can take us there. Let's look at what testimony we can learn from the story of Lazarus and his death.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm reading from John chapter 11, verses 11 to 14, and then 21 to 25 in the New International Version. And he says, after he had said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. His disciples reply, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. And then verses 21 to 25 says, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Is it interesting that when Martha met Jesus, Jesus didn't tell her, well, your brother is happy in heaven right now, you know, praising God. But instead, what did Jesus say?
He's sleeping.
Mm-hmm. Right? And he will rise again. And what did Martha say to Jesus? What did she say?
I know he will rise in the last days.
She knew that the resurrection will happen at the last day. Right. Travis, any other point, you know, standing out for you from these texts about Lazarus?
One thing I know about Mary and Martha and Lazarus is that they were dear friends and students of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And he didn't correct her theology. Mm. I know he will rise again in the last day. And another thing about this story that has always struck me is Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's sleeping. It's as if he didn't even want to utter the words that he is dead. Mm. It's like they had to draw the words out of him. And then the Bible says, and Jesus told them plainly, he's dead. But it's almost like he didn't want to use that word. Because to him, he knew that he was going to be raised. And he knows that all who are sleeping in the graves, he's looking forward to that day when he can come and call them out of the graves and the earth will just mound up, you know.
Wow.
This is something that Jesus is looking forward to. So it's almost, I just love this story because I feel like Jesus is not even trying to use the word death. They're sleeping until I return.
Wow, beautiful. John, can you take us to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 17, and let's see what Apostle Paul has to say about this glorious future resurrection in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 17, please.
Sure. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 17 from the New American Standard Bible. It reads, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as to the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord.
Amen.
Wow. Beautiful. What can we learn from Apostle Paul in his description of death and resurrection that will happen when Jesus returns? Sabina.
You know, what catches my eye here, Puya, is that Paul, he's sharing this because he's concerned about them not feeling sorrow when they lose someone. Mm-hmm. Or like, it seems to me that it is part of his teaching to say, hey, like, let's not grieve as those who have not this hope. Mm. But then instead of pointing to them to the fact that they could potentially just communicate maybe with someone that had just passed away, he points them to the events in which they will be resurrected. So I know a lot of people that, you know, because of how they were brought up, they still believe, because they find comfort in it, that they are being protected or they can communicate it with someone who passed away. And for those individuals, I would, you know, point them to this scripture and say that they don't need to be sorrowful about the loss of this dear person, but not because they can still, you know, be watched by them or because they can communicate with them, but because there is hope of a resurrection. So I think that's what we should be teaching as well.
Thank you for that comment. My question here is, how sure is this promised resurrection for those who have fallen asleep in Jesus?
You know, I love the certainty of the Apostle Paul, verse 15. Of 1 Thessalonians 4, this we say to you by the word of the Lord. He's saying, this is a revelation that the Lord Jesus himself has given to me, and I'm sharing it with you. This is not just my theology.
Right.
This is by the word of the Lord.
And what evidence do we have, Gladys, of that resurrection?
Well, it clearly said that just like Jesus resurrected, so we will be.
Right, because Jesus himself has conquered death.
Yes.
For those who trust in him, there is hope beyond the grave. Think about this, right? For the person who passes away, for the person who sleeps in Jesus, the last thing they remember is the moment just before they close their eyes for the last time on this earth.
Yeah.
And the next time they open their eyes, it's going to be when Jesus comes again. So even though time would have passed, or however long that is, for the person who went away, who went to sleep, it would as if it was just 1 second. It would just be like time continuing. Yeah. You close your eye, and you open your eyes. Wow, Jesus really did return soon. He's here. Right? That's the wonderful promise that Paul is wanting us to comfort one another when we lose our loved ones. Yeah. Scott, and then John.
You know, this is such a firm promise that in another place, we might read this text later, but in another place, Paul says that this is what the whole gospel depends on. Like, you take away the certainty of the resurrection, then there's no point in our faith. This is such a critical key part that we can be absolutely confident in it.
Beautiful. John.
You know, in the Bible also, we see evidences that Jesus Christ, whom we believe, has the power to resurrect those who are dead. You know, we learn about Moses, who was dead, but God resurrected him and took him to heaven. We see about Lazarus, that Jesus brought out Lazarus. And we see another young girl who died, but Jesus raised her from the dead. Those are evidences that God has given to show us that Jesus Christ, who is God, is able to raise those who die in him.
Thank you. Yeah. Travis, I'll take your comment, and then I want to ask Kailinda to take us to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 4, after Travis' comment.
You know, I was thinking about this as everyone was talking, and we're talking about this cosmic conflict. And one of Satan's weapons is fear. He's going to want us to fear death. And Jesus spent his whole ministry trying to get across to his followers that did not have to be afraid. I don't know how many times he said, fear not. The Bible says that over and over, fear not, fear not. And while we're talking about this death, I was thinking about Revelation 1. He starts out in the context of death. Do not be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I'm he who lives and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I have the keys to the grave and to death. He does not give us a spirit of fear. And as Christians, we need to reiterate the message to the world that even in this cosmic conflict, when we face death, we do not have to be afraid.
Wow. Amen. Powerful. Amen. Powerful. Amen. Kailinda, please take us to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 4, and let's find out what hope we have through Christ Jesus.
I will be reading these verses from the New King James Version. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, mm-hmm. reserved in heaven for you.
Wow.
Amen.
I find it interesting that Peter uses the word reserve, or in other translation, he said kept. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a future promise that will come in heaven, mm-hmm. right? Peter didn't teach the idea that when you die, you'll receive the inheritance. Mm-hmm. No, Peter said, no, your inheritance is reserved in Christ Jesus, that one day you will get to receive in heaven when Jesus comes again, mm-hmm. right? So that's a clear teaching from the Bible. Mm-hmm. Now let's come to the last part of our study for today, and let's look at the prophecies from the Bible as to how this concept of spiritualism, or this concept of the human nature after we die, will become a very important point of contest between God and the enemy Satan in the last days, right? Nicole, would you take us to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 to 9, and let's look at what Paul warned us ahead of time.
So the New International Version of 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 7 through 9 says, "For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie."
Wow. Deceptions,
yep.
Lies, the very same tactic that the enemy has been using from the very beginning.
Yep.
Jamie Jean, can you take us to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 to 14, and let's look at further what Paul is warning us ahead of the tactic that the enemy will use in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 to 14.
Mm-hmm. The New American Standard Bible says, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light."
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. So in the last days, according to these prophecies, Satan himself will disguise with his demonic angels like angels of light, deceiving people.
Yeah.
Wow. Why is it important then for us to study these prophecies ahead of time? You know, we'll have a few more texts, but just want to take a quick comment here for anyone. Yes, Gladys.
Because when we study the Word of God will ground us. So when all of these waves of interpretation and deceit come around, we can deceive just like we can respond just like Jesus, "Thus says the Lord."
It is written, right? Leah, can you take us to Revelation 13, verse 11 to 14, and let's look at what Revelation, according to John the Revelator, forewarns us ahead of these last days' deception. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 11 to 14.
And I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. And it reads, "Then I saw another beast rising out of the earth. It had two horns like a lamb, and it spoke like a dragon. It exercises all the authority of the first beast in its presence and makes the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast whose mortal wound was healed. It performs great signs, even making fire come down from heaven to earth in front of people."
Wow. In our future studies on this series, we'll be looking at more in detail of what these what this beast from the earth represent. But just for the context of our study today, the point I believe that's important for us is the idea that in the last days, there will be so many signs and wonders that the devil even will be able to bring down fire from heaven and deceives people, right? Now, in the context of the idea of spiritualism, what do you think can be the deceptions that the enemy can bring in the last days if a person doesn't understand this scriptural teaching on, say, what happens when, you know, we die? Sabina.
Yeah, so Puya, I think that it's very important because you see a lot of people, they still believe that their loved ones have passed away and that they can communicate with them. Mm-hmm. And what Satan can do with that is that he can deceive them by pretending that he is a person that they love, for instance, mm-hmm. and start communicating with them. Mm. So that's an example that I see that Satan could use to deceive, and he already does that to a lot of people that believe in spiritualism.
Wow. Zandili, can you take us to Matthew chapter 24, verse 21 to 26, and let's see what further prophecies Jesus gave us ahead along that line of masquerading or pretending to be, you know, an angel of light or maybe prophets even from the Bible itself. Matthew chapter 24, verse 21 to 26.
Okay, sure. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. It says, "For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been seen since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh will be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'There,' do not believe, for the false prophets, false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great wonders, signs to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, 'Look, he is in the desert,' do not go out. Or, 'Look, he is in the inner rooms,' do not believe. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be."
Wow. Travis, do you have any comment from these prophecies of Jesus?
You know, something just flashed in my mind while she was reading that. I was thinking of Peter when Jesus says, "Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. But I've prayed that your faith would not fail. And when you return to me, go strengthen your brethren." And Peter's response has always stuck in my mind: "Lord, I'm ready." And just hours later, he's caught in Satan's snare. Here, as we were just reading this, it says that the days of persecution were shortened for the elect's sake. Mm. These would be the gospel reformers, these reformers. And then it says that even they could be deceived. This is serious. I mean, I think we really need to take a close look at this battle. It is real. We need to trust in the word. Mm. We need to stay close to Jesus because we can be deceived.
Wow. Powerful. Derek.
You know, I thought of what Jesus says if they say, like, he's in the desert, don't go. Mm. It's like, it could be so compelling that even the elect could be led astray. Oh, yeah. But we know he's not going to be in the desert or in a secret room. Mm. Mm. But don't even go there.
Right.
I thought of what the wise man Solomon says: "Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil," because that will be an overwhelming deception. Mm. But if I've grounded myself in the truth of God's word,
Amen.
I'm not going to go there because I know that's not what Jesus taught.
Wow, powerful. So Satan and his demonic angels could pretend to be like Christ or prophets leading people astray. This is going to be very, very dangerous. We have to move on towards the last part of our study here. I want to ask a question. Maybe someone can share a time when these forces of darkness tried to deceive you or someone close to you. John.
One of my mentors told a story of how he was in the Philippines preaching, and a person who has been attending those series of meetings has been talking to his mother who passed away. And then when he heard the truth that is not your mother, it's an evil spirit, the next day he saw his mother and he said, "You're not my mother, you're an evil spirit." This figure of his mother turned into an evil spirit and just left him.
Wow.
And so, you know, sometimes there are people really mad at why were they deceived and why this truth was not shared to them. And somebody who's watching thinking, you know, why was this truth not shared to them? Mm. You know, we are here at Hope Sabbath School and Hope Channel. We are willing to talk to them and comfort them. And as they grab onto the promises of God, Right. They'll be able to make sense and come to grips with it.
Amen. Thank you. Scott, can you take us to Psalm 119, verse 105? And I believe this would be a good point to conclude our study today. Of all the possible deceptions that are coming our way in the future, where can we ground ourselves, or how can we protect ourselves from these deceptions from the enemy in this cosmic conflict where the enemy wants to infiltrate false ideas? Where can we find protection, Scott?
Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
God's word. I want to appeal to you, our Hope Sabbath School family around the world. Based on our study today, we have learned that according to the Bible, when we die, we fall asleep in Christ. Our breath of life returns back to God and our body returns to the ground. And when Jesus comes again, He will resurrect us. Or if we are still alive when Jesus returns, according to Paul, we would be transformed. So don't be deceived when the enemy comes in the form of a prophet or a teacher or even Christ Himself performing all kinds of miracles. Ground yourself in the Scripture. Stay close to Jesus so that you will not be deceived.
Amen.
May God bless us all.
Thank you so much, Puya. What an amazing study. I'm so thankful that we could hear this word from the Lord, because people in my own family were led astray because they didn't have the light of God's word. But we have that light, and Jesus is the light of the world. Amen. So let's press close to Him, and we know we'll be secure. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for this important study, Spiritualism Exposed, the lies of the enemy exposed. We want to focus on the truth of Your word and the light of Jesus, our Savior, as we press close to Him. Thank You that we can face the future without fear, but with hope. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School. The cosmic conflict is almost over. So let's press closer to Jesus than ever before. Be at rest in Him and go out and be a blessing to those around you.